This morning, I want to talk to you about your future. I am not going to come and read your palms. I am not going to use a deck of cards. I'm not even going to call a psychic hotline. I am going to use the Bible. I am going to use an important character in the Bible. And I'm going to show you that the decisions you make today determine your tomorrows. How what you do today determines how your future turns out. You might think, well, this is just a sermon to the young people. I'm a little bit older and my future's already been set. I will tell you, the person we're going to talk about is about 75 years old. And so I would submit to you that this message is for everybody, regardless of age. You have a future. I don't care how old you are, you have a future. Lord may come before we get done, and we may be raptured to heaven. That'll be a wonderful thing. But if He doesn't come, you have a future. And that future is going to be determined by the choices that you make today. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this man called Abram, as we read about in Genesis chapter 12. Sometimes I may say his name is Abraham, because it was the same person. God changed his name, so forgive me. Just understand that I'm talking about the same man. God came to Abram and said, hey, I got a new place that I want you to live. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Just pack up, move, and I'll tell you when you get there. He was living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, a place that we know as Kuwait today. And God was going to move him to a place where God wanted him to be. Now, we know that place today as the nation of Israel. In the Bible, it's called the land of Canaan. And in the Bible, the land of Canaan pictures the perfect will of God. It pictures the will that God had for His people. It was true in Abram's case. It was true in the nation of Israel's case. He had prepared that land for them, and He had given it to them, and He wanted them to live there. And so we know the story. Abram packed up his family and all his possessions, and he left his home. He did not know where he was going. But when he got to that land of Canaan, God says, all right, Abram, you're here. This is where I want you to be. And when Abram got to the land of Canaan, he was in the center of God's will. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. I would remind you this morning that God also has a will for your future. God also has a will for your life. There is a place that God wants you to live. There is a job that God wants you to have. There is an occupation that God wants you to be employed in. If you are here and you are single and it's God's will that you get married, God already knows who He wants you to marry. And I'll just throw this in for nothing. We'd be a lot better off listening to God about who He wants us to marry than opposed to picking that person on our own. And so He has a will. He has a church that He wants you to attend. And the best place for a Christian to be is exactly where God wants them to be. The best place for a Christian to live is in the center of God's will. The best place for Abram to live in that particular time was exactly where God led him, in the land of Canaan. And when he was there, he was in the center of God's will. We sing the song, and it's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Sometimes when we sing the song, we don't think about the words that we sing. But some of the songs we sing have wonderful, wonderful truths. And we sing that song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We need to live that song. We need to trust that God knows what's best for us far better than we do, that God loves us, and when He designed the plan for our life, it's the best plan that anybody could come up with, including us. Amen. In fact, it's a whole lot better than anything we could come up for our life ourselves. So, Abram was in Canaan. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. And I would remind you, in the Bible, Abram was a great man. Only man in the Bible described as a friend of God. And God, he was going to be used of God to be the father of God's people, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews. So, he was in the land of Canaan. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. Then something happened. A famine came. It quit raining. The crops quit growing. And food was scarce. I mean, the Bible uses the word grievous. So it was a bad time for those that lived in this place. Their food supply, I mean, they went to the pantry and there was only a couple of jars of green beans left in the pantry. There weren't any crops. They were about to run out of food. You know, it's easy to trust God when the pantry's full. It's easy to trust God when the freezer's full. It's easy to trust God when there's money in the bank. It's easy to trust God when you're working 40 to 50 hours a week. But when things get tough, when things get tight, it gets a little bit harder. And here's what we want to do. When things get tough and when things get tight, instead of just trusting God that He knows what He's doing, that His will is still the perfect thing for our life, we get the idea that we need to help God. We need to help God. I saw a church sign not too long ago. It said this: make God laugh. Tell Him your plans. I said, I like that. Make Him laugh. Tell Him your plans. Your plans compared to His are a laughable matter. But when things get tight and when things get tough, we want to help God out. We want to say, God, maybe You don't know exactly what's best for my life. Maybe You need my help. That's what Abram did. He said, I know God led me to this place in a miraculous way, and I know that He wants me to be here, but I don't think He wants me to be here now. There's a famine. I can't get enough to feed my family. And so Abram made a decision. I'm going to help God. I'm going to decide to go down to Egypt. There's food there. There's crops there. They're not suffering the same famine. So I'll just help God out a little bit. I'll go down to Egypt. By the way, anytime you leave the will of God, you go down. When Jonah fled from the place that God wanted him to be, in Nineveh, to preach in Nineveh, the Bible says that he went down to Joppa. When Samson went to the place that God didn't want him to go and met the girl that was going to wreck his life, the Bible says that he went down to Timnath. Anytime we leave the will of God, we go down. And so Abram went down to Egypt. Just like in the Bible, the land of Canaan represents the will of God for our life. The land of Egypt represents being outside of the will of God. And so Abram made a decision. I'm going to leave the will of God for my life, and I'm going to go to a place that I want to go. Now, you'll be happy to know this morning I only have two points. I usually have three or more. This morning I only have 2 points, and they're simple points. Number one. Again, I'm talking about your future. Our future, your future, my future is not determined by chance. Our future is determined by choice. We are not where we are today by accident. We are not where we are today by luck. We are not where we are today by chance. We are where we are today because of the choices and the decisions that we have made in the past. Our future, what will happen to us tomorrow and the next day and the next day? It doesn't depend on luck. It doesn't depend on chance. Our future for tomorrow and the next day will be determined by the choices and the decisions that we make today. You see, Abram had a wonderful future to look forward to. When he followed God's leadership and came to the land of Canaan, God had a wonderful future planned for him. He was going to have just a boatload of descendants. God told him, hey, look to the sky. If you can count the stars, that's how many. And this was before he and Sarai, his wife, before they had any children. I mean, and they were old, in their 70s and 80s. And God says, look, you've been obedient. You've come to the place that I want you to come. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you so many descendants. If you can count the number of stars in the sky, then you can count your descendants. If you can count the grains of sand in the desert, you can know how many descendants that you're going to have. And I'm going to use you and those that come after you to bless the world, to bless everybody that comes after you. And so in the center of God's will, in the land of Canaan, God had a good future, a wonderful future prepared, planned out, however you want to say it, for Abram. When he decided that he was going to help God, When he decided he was going to go down to Egypt, it caused some heartaches to come into that future. It caused some things to become part of that future that if Abraham had to do over, he probably wouldn't do. We know what happened. There were some things that came into Abraham's life that God hadn't originally planned. But because Abram made the choice to leave the center of God's will and go to Egypt, some things came into his life. He was going to have an adulterous affair. He was going to have a child as a result of that affair. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How did that result from him going to Egypt? Well, who did he have this affair with? Hagar. Who was Hagar? An Egyptian maid. Where did Hagar come from? Egypt. If Abram hadn't gone to Egypt, Hagar wouldn't even be on the scene. And so Abram made that decision, and he says, I know better than God. I want to choose my way instead of God's way. And when you get down to it, that's the simplest definition I know to give you of sin. It's saying to God, I don't care what way you want me to have, I want my way. I don't want to do it your way, I want to do it my way. Let me give you some examples. God had a will for Lucifer, the archangel. His will was for him, that angel, to be one of three archangels in heaven, to be the angel of beauty, the angel of light, and the angel of music. Lucifer said, well, I don't want God's way for my existence. I want my way. He said, God, my plan for my life is better than your plan for my existence. I want to be higher than you. I want my seat to be higher than your seat. I want the worship. I want the glory. I want the laud that you have. And as a result of Lucifer leaving the center of God's will for his existence, he was kicked out of heaven. He lost everything that he had in heaven. Adam in the Garden of Eden said the same thing. I know better than God. It was God's will. Look, God had prepared the Garden of Eden for Adam and for Eve. And God says, hey, I have a wonderful future planned for you. You can live in this garden and you can live here forever. We'll fellowship together. We'll walk and talk together. And you can spend all of eternity with me in the Garden of Eden. And Adam said, well, I have a better idea. I have a better plan. You know that fruit you told me not to eat? I'm going to eat it. I want to know what you know. I want my eyes to be open. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. When he ate that fruit, he knew that he was disobeying God. He knew that he was doing something that God told him not to do. And again, that's the basic definition of sin. It's telling God, I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Listen, what we need to know this morning, what we need to understand, is God's will for our life is always better than ours. And we'd just be a lot better off if we simply trusted and obeyed. If we trusted God and did exactly what he says. Now, I will tell you this morning, for every single person in this room, God's will for your life is for you to be saved. God's will for your life is for you to understand that you're a sinner, that there's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, like the choir sang about in their special, that Jesus on Calvary's cross paid for your sin. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. When we as an individual say, I don't want God's way, I want my way, we've sinned. And God says, sin can't be in my presence. I'm a holy, righteous God. And when you sin, when you disobey, I've got to separate myself from you. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam sinned. He willfully disobeyed God, and God said, I got to separate myself from you. You got to leave. I got to kick you out. He said, in the day you eat the fruit, you'll die. He didn't die physically. Adam didn't die physically when he ate the fruit, but he died spiritually because he was kicked out of the garden. He was separated from God. And God's will for every single person in this room is that you realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus paid the penalty. And if you ask him, he'll save you. And he'll give you a home with him in heaven forever. And as you live the rest of this life here on this earth, he'll give you the Holy Spirit, which will give you the strength and the power to live the life that God wants you to live. I will tell you, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, God has a wonderful future plan for you. I mean, tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It's a wonderful future. It's a future full of the abundant life that God wants to give to every person. But see, your choice today will impact that future. God says, "I want my will for your life is for you to be saved. My will for your life is for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and get your sins paid for, to be redeemed. And his will for your life, if you're not saved today, is for you to do that today." He says, "Now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation." And we think, "Well, I got a better idea. I can take care of my sin by working, or I can take care of my sin by being good, or I can take care of my sin by going to church, or I can take care of my sin by getting baptized, I can take care of my sin by taking communion." And we come up with all sorts of ways that are different from God's ways as to how to get right with him. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me ask you, if you are a person that believes you can work your way to heaven, how much work does it take? How much work does it take to pay for your sin? How much work does it take to pay for the times that you've disobeyed God and said, "God, no, I don't want your way, I want my way for my life"? How much work does it take? I would submit to you this morning, we could work the rest of our life 24/7 and still not work enough to pay for our sin. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. And then we tell God, "Well, I know you say today's the day of salvation. I know you say now is the time. But I'll put it off a while. I'm not ready to get saved today. I mean, I got a lot of other things that I need to do before I get saved. If I get saved, it's going to change my whole life." Yeah, it'll change your whole life, but there's nothing worth putting it off for. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You are not guaranteed the next day. That's why God says, "Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time." As I said last week, right now, this moment is the very easiest moment that's going to exist in your life for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You walk out this door this morning unsaved, not knowing Christ as your Savior. The next time you hear the gospel, it will be harder for you to say yes. Your heart will become more calloused. It'll be easier for you to say no the next time. It'll be harder for you to say yes. God has a will. He has a wonderful future planned for you. But the choice that you make today when it comes to Jesus Christ will affect that future. Same thing is true for the Christians out of here. I know I'm preaching to mostly Christians this morning. I know I'm preaching to those that have already received Christ as their Savior. But you know, the decisions that we make today will affect our tomorrows. You see, God has a plan for each of our life. And it's not just a grand scheme. Well, he wants us to get saved and he wants us to live a Christian life. God has a detailed plan. I mean, I wish we could go to heaven. I wish we could open up the books of heaven. I wish we could see the plan that God has for our life. I mean, it's detailed. It's a place to live. It's an occupation. It's a person to marry. It's the number of kids you're going to have. Every day of your life is planned by God. And he has a will. He has something that he wants you to do. He has something he wants you to accomplish. He has something he wants you to be. And we, in our pride, we, in our foolishness, say, "Well, I know more about my life than God does." I mean, just picture a little 2-year-old. You know, a 2-year-old, they get a mind of their own. I'm reminded of that. And my little grandson, he's almost two. He's got a mind of his own. And I look at him sometimes and say, how stupid can you be? Who do you think knows better what's best for me, for you? Your pa or you? You're 2 years old. You don't know nothing yet. I'm 60, however old I am. I know a lot more than you do. And I know what more, well, a lot better than you do what's best for you. And sometimes I think God just wants to slap us up beside the head and say, what's the matter with you? How foolish can you be? Don't you think that the one that made you, don't you think that the one that designed you, don't you think that the one that put you where you are knows more about what you need to do than you do? So we say, well, I can change jobs and make more money. Well, that's good. Does God want you to? We say, well, I hate this weather. I'm going to move. Well, does God want you to? It's starting to get warm. Praise the Lord. Summer's going to be here. Praise the Lord. And when summer comes, even though God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, we say, well, it's summertime. God will give me an excuse. Show me that in this book. God has a will for our life. He created you and made you with a plan in mind, and His plan for you is better by far than anyone you can come up with on your own. And when you step away from God's plan, you are stepping down. Why don't we just listen to God? Why don't we just trust Him? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So point number one, our future is determined by the choices we make today. Point number two, the choices that we make today not only determine our future, but they determine the future of others. When Abram went to Egypt, he had a nephew, a young man by the name of Lot. That when Abram went down to Egypt, Abram was raising his nephew, his dad was dead, Abram's brother. And when Abram went down to Egypt, Lot went with him. Well, after God brought him back to the land of Canaan, God began to bless him. Again, He blessed them both. He blessed Abraham and He blessed Lot. He blessed them so much that they had so much livestock that the people that took care of their livestock started fighting with one another because the Bible says the land wasn't big enough to support all their herds. And so their herdmen were fussing with each other. And Abram came to Lot and said, look, we're brethren. We don't need to fuss. This is a bad testimony to everybody around us. We're going to have to separate. You choose. You choose which direction you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. And in Genesis 13:10, here's what the Bible says. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, even as the Garden of Eden. Now, let me ask you, I want you to think with me for a minute. I'm almost done, so just hang on. Even as the Garden of the Garden of the Lord was the Garden of Eden. Had Lot been to the Garden of Eden? No. He hadn't been to the Garden of Eden. He never saw the Garden of Eden. Then it says, like the land of Egypt. Had Lot been to Egypt? Yeah. He accompanied Abram to Egypt. So Lot was making this choice. Which way do I go? Which direction do I go in? And he looked around and saw a place that looked like the land of Egypt. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. He chose the place that looked like Egypt. You say, well, Lot was an adult. He was responsible for his own choice. And you're absolutely right. He was responsible for the choice he made. But if Abram hadn't gone to Egypt, Lot would have never got the appetite for a place that looked like Egypt. He never would have chose the well-watered plain of Jordan, and he wouldn't have lost his wife. He wouldn't have lost his children. He wouldn't have lost everything he had by the choice that he made to go to the well-watered plain of Jordan. We say today, hey, I'm an adult. I can make choices. And if it's a bad choice, I'll pay the price myself. It will not affect anybody else. Well, what about your children? What about your grandchildren? The choices that you make will not only affect your future, they will affect the future of your children and your grandchildren. You need to choose wisely. You need to choose to stay in the center of God's will. You need to choose not to go down to your own way. You need to choose not to say, I know better than God what's best for me. God knows better than you do what's best for you. So your future. I'm going to tell you what's going to determine it. It's the choices that you make today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to choose Him. God has a wonderful, wonderful future planned for you, but it all starts with receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here today, and most of you are a Christian, God has a will for your life. Don't step outside the bounds of it. Don't think that you know better than God, because there'll be a price to pay. And it won't be just a price that you pay. It'll be a price that your children pay and your grandchildren pay. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for this time we've had together in your word. I pray now for those that might be here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, please help them understand that your will for them, their life, is for them to come to know Christ. For them to get their sins paid for and forgiven. And Jesus took care of all that on Calvary's cross. And so in just a second, when we stand to sing, if there's those here that don't know Jesus Christ, would you help them just come? We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray for the Christians that are here, the Christians that will make decisions today. Help us understand that our future is not left to chance. Our future is determined by the choices we make today. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose obediently. Help us to choose to stay in the center of your will. Bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.